Jenny is in the food room. She likes to give facts. Definitely. She's the factual.
I've been known as the person who can ruin anything you enjoy.
Wow. So, well, lockdown was the worst. Okay. You got to get 68 dudes to be quiet.
Okay.
Okay, but there's a way to do it. But this is what I do. If right. if two guys start arguing, right, face to face, this is what I yeah. this is what I would do. Okay.
Please do.
Yeah. He pushed it away. He pushed it away. He's getting ready. Okay. Do it.
Hey! Like that.
Whoa! Jesus, I wet myself. Just,
he can
I tinkled.
Yell. Kind Dude, that was just a soccer dad yell.
Yeah. I want to introduce to y'all.
We are here to introduce.
I'm here to introduce.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Comedy Connects.
Yes, welcome to Comedy Connects. It's kind of libelous. A little slander.
No, exactly. We are on right
now. I know. We are joined today with Nate, the lovely Nate.
Hi there.
That was creepy.
I know, I'm sorry.
And I thought my jokes were bad.
Exactly. And ghost. Two comics, Kate Hermsen.
Hello.
And Abe Auer.
Hello.
Good I always feel like we have like two men, and I always feel like I have to say like, and what do you think? And then say their name so that everyone can distinguish who it is. But now you know, like Kate's the one with the male voice and Abe is the one with the female voice. That's so there's right. no confusion.
That's correct.
That's right.
Yeah. I got a sexy voice.
You're like, oh, yeah.
Kate's practicing for her phone.
Do I have a girl voice?
Abe's like not all yet. Worried. He's for the next 2 weeks. He's gonna be like, wait a second. Do I?
It's gonna go extra low with everything.
Oh, monotone voice. I know that.
But. Yeah, sorry. I did the Christian Bale Batman voice.
Let's start the show with everyone giving us their worst impression of somebody.
Hey, everyone.
What are we on? South
I can't
Park?
Even get. Yeah.
Wait. Worst we gotta try impression? To guess. Worst impression of anyone?
No, give
pretty out there.
It's pretty vague. We like, to keep
like
it
hi,
vague.
That was Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No.
Yeah,
that
was terrible. Yeah,
it was terrible.
So we have Kate and Abe, and they're extraordinary comedians that
I
watched for about 3.5 minutes before they got here.
Oh,
career highlights. You got all my highlights.
I do. 19 seconds. You gotta ramp it up, buddy.
I've seen their highlights and their lowlights, and I'm here to dish all.
Oh, good.
All right.
So we usually start out, how long you guys been in comedy? Whoever wants to go first.
Abe goes first.
Really been in about a year and a half.
What? Oh.
Yeah. First open mic I did was 2 years ago, and then I did it, and I was like, all right, I did it. And then several months went by, I'm like, all right, I want to do this. So about a year and a half. Yeah.
Mm. Nice. Cool, right on.
I like that you're giving us the year and a half instead of claiming the full 2 years.
That's always the hard one. To know. Yeah. Like COVID really messes people up with their timelines a lot, I find.
Yeah, I've heard people like have, well, 3 years, but COVID. And it's like, okay, so technically two years.
Yeah, and it's weird because, I mean, there are Zoom mics and stuff during COVID, but like, do you count it? I don't know.
There are a lot of comedians going up there going, okay, COVID's over.
You and know, they that's still how they are. Did it. Like, I've still seen comedians trying to make COVID references and jokes,
so it's like
and
a
it
crutch.
Just doesn't.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't think it really hits.
I feel like
that
everybody's kind of over it.
Yeah,
I started comedy after COVID, so I just hit my 2 year mark in March. St. Patrick's Day was nice. My first day that I ever did it. So
where was it at?
It was at Comedy City Theater in Green Bay.
Oh yeah,
De Pere.
De Pere.
We are not the same.
Wisconsin.
Oh my god. Okay. Wow. And I did it on St. Patrick's Day. It was terrible because three people were there and I bombed because I did a story. And that's the number one mistake that you can make is to do a story. There's a story about how I tricked my boyfriend into touching my dead grandma at the funeral.
Good Lord. And right out of the gates.
And she's still telling it.
I haven't told it in a while.
You just told it like a
Touch
month
her
ago.
Hand.
What?
I did?
Yeah,
really?
You did.
At a where?
You were hosting at Skyline in Appleton, Wisconsin.
I've definitely never told that story.
You definitely hosting. Did.
I tell my grandma shaking the hand story, but I don't do the touching in
the
casket.
No, the booger and everything.
YouTube, saw
because
it.
Well, the booger joke, yes, is a part of that, but not the funeral part.
Oh, okay.
I only did the booger part.
All right. Hey, this crap was catered. Get on it. Touch your hand.
Yeah. Hey, do you
but it was bad, regardless.
Abe, have you ever done storytelling comedy?
Well, I think that's kind of like, we brought up a good point. Like, the first time you do it, you think, oh, this story is hilarious. Like, mm-hmm. this thing, it was really funny yeah. for me. And then you get up there and you're like, this was only funny for me. Yeah. It's like, I've heard it's, if you have to say, well, you had to be there, then it's not funny.
No.
It's not.
No.
So I yeah. think, yeah, I mean, there's been times when you dive into a story. But I think I've seen enough to other people who are like, it's not, unless you're really just throwing in all these punches, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not going to be there.
Set up punch and set up punch. Quick set up punch, set up punch, set up punch is the best way to go about it, at least in our area, I found yeah. around here. People don't have the mental capacity to sit and listen to a story for a while, unless you're like a headliner and you've been doing it forever.
Have you guys both traveled for comedy? I know, Kate, you have.
I have traveled to Michigan.
Oh, well, that's to the kind UP. Of traveling. Have you gone out of the Midwest?
Yeah. Yeah. I was on
yeah,
Kill
you
Tony.
Were, I was just going to say, yeah.
I was
were
on
down
Kill
in
Tony
Texas.
In Austin, Texas.
Were you really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry to stop the show dead.
He's gonna fangirl all over this now.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I
no.
would kiss him on the cheek.
It was like
make
my
love to his earlobe.
Oh goodness.
I kind of try. I spread out a lot. Like the first time I did was on St. Patrick's Day. Then the second time I did comedy was in Minnesota for Comedy Corner Underground, and Michael Che showed up and hosted that night, so nice. It's like still like the night that everybody remembers because he nice. Went up right after I was done. I was like, oh my god. And then Kill Tony was my 9th time ever doing stand up.
Oh my god.
Nice. Yeah, and so I got called up, and then because I'm dating a comedian, Trevor Klumpner, who was on the pod a couple
yeah.
episodes
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, like 3 episodes ago, Trevor. I think.
Yeah,
yeah, I mentioned that he was a comic too, and he got pulled up, so he got to do a minute, and then
They called his dad.
Then they called his biological father that we went there to go meet, and we had never met him. And it was, it's a memory for a lot of people. There are people that still message him asking him if he's met his dad yet or not.
Nice.
And the answer is, I'm not telling.
No.
What? You were we are here for the like late.
You'll
break.
Have to have Trevor back on. Uh-oh.
Go down in the comments below. Yeah, there will be a
Let's
link.
Make bets on if we met him.
Okay, I kind of want to make this a thing.
I am so sorry. I have to, again, I'm fanboying out right now. Okay. Who was on that and what did that feel like? Because it's cringe. It's like watching a car crash. Kind of feeling when
yeah.
I watch it. I don't watch reality shows because it makes me violently ill.
Oh, it was master cringe for us, especially when we called his dad. Like Red Band's head was inside of a shirt. Like he could not handle at all. But I went on right after
sound effects. Shut the fuck up.
And I forget his name, and I feel so bad. I forgot his name, but he stutters. He's like the big stuttering. Like the golden ticket.
Imagine that's how someone describes you.
He stutters so much. Like, can't not know.
Imagine,
him as the
but right,
guy.
Like I can't remember her name. She has serious ADHD. Like let's go to your disabilities.
No. Okay. Like that's what he's not. Like he
Jesus.
Literally can't.
What is
get
that?
It out.
What is
it.
That Drew Lynch joke where he's like, you know, for a long time I was known as the stuttering comedian because for a long time I had a really bad PR.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but he stuttered worse than Drew Lynch did. Like he couldn't even right. have a conversation with us. Mm-hmm. Like it was okay. that bad. But I went down right after him and I had my minute already picked out and I had to pee so bad. Like I had to pee so bad that
this
I literally
is a
looked
common theme for Kate, by the way.
It's always.
She always has to pee.
I always have to pee
on stage.
So bad. But this one was where I looked at Trevor and I was like, if they don't call my name next, I'm leaving the venue. to find a bathroom, or I'm creating a pee corner. So it's like, oh, sorry. But it's like, I can't hold it anymore. And then literally they're like, here it is, Kate Hermsen. And I was like, damn it, shit. And so I go up there, I do my minute. And then, of course, I mentioned Trevor. So then I'm like, I literally asked him, I'm like, so can I get off stage? And he's like, no, stay right there. And I was like, cool, good.
What are you going to do?
Watch the video in slow motion. You can see her bouncing.
You can see me. I'm like, I'm back and forth on my feet, just like back and forth. Like, I can't. And I'm just like telling myself, I'm just like, don't piss yourself on TV.
That would be a memory.
Oh my God. So then, and then of course he's got to be like, let's call his dad. And I'm like, yeah, let's draw it out. And the guest was Mary Lynn Rice Cub. So Gail the Snail from Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And various other things. I mean, she's on so many things, just amazing. And her stand up so good, but it was just her. And then Tony and Red Band, and it was July. So it was 120 degrees. We were waiting outside. I was sweaty. I was disgusting. Like, it was hard, but we went up there and then did our deal. And then immediately when we got off stage, I was like, can I use the bathroom? And they're like, yeah. And I went in there and like did the thing like where you like groan so loud while you pee.
Oh, please.
I'm just That's like, so oh, yeah. All of it out of me.
I'm giving birth. It's a boy.
Yes. And right next to me, not knowing, is Mary Lynn Rice Cub in the bathroom, in the stall, right next to me. And I get up to wash my hands, and she comes up like after me, like same deal. And I was like, oh my God. Oh my God, it's Gail. And like I blank on her name, and I'm just like, it's Gail the Snail. Oh my God. And she said the nicest thing. She goes, Trevor seems more confident. I can tell he's been doing it longer, but I really liked your stuff. And I really think that you're like genuine and you like know your deal. Right. And I really think that's great and you should keep doing that. And I was like, oh my God, thank you so much.
But the real question is, did she wash her hands?
She did.
Nice.
She washed them. Jenny's nice. All.
I'm all about that.
Jenny's all about
there's so many female hands. Comics that I've learned don't wash their hands. And it's
Abe.
I'm struggling with it.
Did you wash your hands?
Abe, did you wash your hands when you went to the bathroom?
Here, yeah, I was at Here. Company's house.
Wait,
yeah.
why did you? That's a company thing.
That is so
At home, I'm disgusting.
That is such a horrifying thing. Do you wash your hands? Well, here I did.
Yeah.
Why so are you moving? Though. It won't do. Look, Nate's messing with my microphone. It won't. It won't.
Come on, I'm Red Band, basically. Anyway. Come on.
Okay. Abe, have you traveled for comedy at all?
Not outside the Midwest. I've been up to the up to the UP, well, that casino up in Harris, Michigan, and then down Rockford. So not outside this area. But,
yeah. Do you find that there's a difference between how comedy is received in Appleton, Wisconsin versus Michigan? Or is it like, you know, that slight difference?
You know, I'd say I really don't know. And that's like what I've been advice someone gave me is like, okay, now you've been able to do, you know, comedy around Wisconsin, a couple of places. Now you got to see how these jokes travel. Mm-hmm. If you can go somewhere else, like I'm going to Indiana this summer. Okay. For me, that's super exciting. Cause to me, that's kind of like Wisconsin, but it's not, you know, it's like, I mean,
you got to look at it as not how far you've traveled, but how many states you can check off. And then every new state you go to is exciting, even if it's, you know, Indiana.
It is different. Like even Wisconsin Indiana is different. Minnesota's different. Totally different. And that's in the Midwest. So I think that states matter.
Yeah.
So even if it's still in the Midwest. Texas was hard because it was like hot out. So everyone was just miserable because it was a lot of outside mics and stuff. And then Creek in the Cave, it was like we didn't know. So it's hard like navigating. But you're going to be doing Indiana. You're going to be doing Fort Wayne. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Summit
nice.
City.
Nice. Are you opening for?
Dave Landau.
Ooh,
nice. Oh,
good.
My God.
Very nice.
Dave? I love him.
So you're going to do Dave, dude?
I'm fanboying out already within the first 15.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Four shows, which I like the when you can get booked on a gig like that where you're doing a couple shows a night because then you just get in that flow. If it's a weekend, then you can it change. By the end, you know, you start Thursday or Friday, then by Saturday night, you're like, some of these jokes were not good. And I was able to add some of this stuff. So,
wow.
So, like, you change what you're going to do over the weekend, like one individual weekend?
You can, like, add some stuff. Or, like, there was last November, I got to do four shows at Skyline in Appleton. The first night, I did not. It was two shows. I'm like, I think I can do better. I think I was just nervous. I'm like, I can do better. And then the next night, I changed it up. At least half of it was different, I think. And I just felt better about it. So.
Well, you did a couple for Dusty Slay recently,
yep.
yeah?
Yep.
At the Improv.
Love Dusty Slay.
Dusty's dope.
Yeah, that was the best. That was so much fun. And that was a great experience because almost all those were sold out down mm-hmm. At the Milwaukee Improv. So, and even that, like the first night, it changed a little bit, you know, each time. There's like, oh, that joke maybe wasn't so good. Or it was weird because even like the early show to late show, some stuff the early crowd would laugh at, late show, they'd just stare at you. You're like, oh. I thought this was funny.
It's like weird. Like every crowd is different. You think that you have it worked out and then all of a sudden it's just, maybe they're drunker for late show. Maybe they're, you know, it's a Friday and they're tired because they just got done with like work. And so they're like a little bit more tight. Like I wish that it was like the same crowd every time because then you could be like, oh, well, I figured it out.
Kate's like, can we just do this like a jury? Can we just hand select? Yeah. Like, okay, you ask them all questions. Like, do you find rape jokes funny? All right, you're out. Do you have a history of trauma? You're in. Come on.
This guy's a fat guy with a mullet. You're in, dude. Let's go.
You're just going down the line profiling.
Like, you look too much like my mother. Get out. Like, it's...
But it is wild how you could do like say, four shows and or five shows, you know, Thursday to Saturday. And yeah, some you do the same set almost exactly the same way. And you're like, that was awesome. I'm a cloud nine. You do it again later and there's half as many people there, half as many laugh. And you're like,
humble your ass.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm coming back tomorrow. Yeah.
I don't know if I'm coming back. The number of times, like, I know you didn't go that extreme where you're like, I don't know if I'm coming back, but the number of times comics are like, this is it. Like, I'm going to kill myself after this set. Like, this was my 13th reason.
We all say it, but we never do it.
Yeah, I think it is.
You're all quitters,
man.
You're all quitters.
We're all addicted. All comedy is addiction. We're just like, that hangover was the worst. I'm never drinking again. And then you're just like, later that night, you're like, oh, beers sound nice. Like that's how comedy is
that abusive boyfriend.
It is. Or you're just like, sometimes.
For the love of God.
No, that is a good example.
Because you go through all the hell and torture and awful experiences just for that, like, one good date night.
Yeah, you're like, sometimes they're nice to me, though. And you're just like, well. Is that good? And you're just like, but when it's good, it's really good.
You're like the backup cello player on the Titanic going, this time it's going to be for real. I'm making it. Yes. And
it is, though, because we'll just be like, and it comes in waves. Like, I feel like it always comes in waves. You'll do well, you'll bomb and bomb and bomb for a while, and then all of a sudden you'll do good, and then you're kind of like going.
Do you think it's something that you get in your head, or like, do you have that experience, Abe, where it's in waves? No, he's like, I always kill it. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it sucks.
You know what? I've kind of learned.
Seems like the guy who goes, yeah, rock star.
Definitely not that.
He's such a humble guy, and I've seen his stuff on YouTube.
What I've tried to do, because like, there's been a lot of times where I remember one. It was about a year ago. I drove all the way to Milwaukee for an open mic, and like crickets, right? But I had done the same jokes a couple of weeks before up around here, and it was great. I mean, it's much longer. I go down there. And then I'm leaving. I'm like, same thing. Like, why did I do that? Well, I just spent $30 in gas.
You cry like, in the car.
It was close.
I will know.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I've punished myself. And then
a week or two later, I do. Then I had one of the best like open mics at Skyline, and I use that video to send to people like, hey, this, and then end up getting booked off that. And it's like, it's such an emotional roller coaster. But what I've learned is like, what I try to do, especially at Skyline for open mic. I'll try to throw if I because I really it's to work on new stuff. So
of course,
if I don't get a laugh right away, it's hard for me to like get going. So I'll try to do something right away that I know is funny or has consistently gotten laughs. Do that. Okay, now I can relax a little bit. Do something new that I'm just trying. Maybe I don't even know how I want to say it yet. Then do something that has gotten laughs. So it just kind of boosts your self-confidence as you do your 3.5-4 minutes.
I think that's a very common thing with open mic is to start off with something, especially if you're hosting it. Like, it's really hard to not want to just always do the hits for like a million different reasons.
Yep.
Where you're just like, oh shit, this person's here. well, now I want to impress them and I want to do the hits. And it's like, no, I'm coming to the mics. We don't have that many. I got to work on new material. Yeah. Got to knock it off.
I think it was just on the last one. Jay Lemke said that he'll... Yeah. Talk himself right out of doing a joke on the drive there.
Oh, sure.
Oh, like, really?
Yeah. He's like, you know, you write the new stuff, and then on the drive there, it's like, no, we're just going back to the regular shit. Like, I know it hits.
I'll do that shit too. Like, I'll write the night before and be like, oh, this is so funny. And I'm like overtired, like dealt with the kids all day, yard work all day. I'm all sunburnt and just half in the bag. And I'm like, this shit's hilarious. And then in the morning, I'm just like, what was I thinking?
Well, I think comedy is weird too, because it's like other things. If like, you know, if I like, cause I've written books and I've done digital design and all that stuff. And when I'm looking at it too much, I'm like, oh, this is trash. I got to step away. And then when I step away and come back to it, I'm like, okay, wait, it's fresh eyes. It's not that bad. But with comedy, like if I write a joke, then I'm like, oh, this is, you know, this is great. And then I step away and come back and I'm like, what? This was trash. And it, the more you think of a joke or the more you spend on a joke, the more trash it sounds, I think.
So is that the reason why you haven't done a mic in a while, Jenny?
Yeah, no kidding.
Jenny started doing comedy a week after me.
You know, yeah, so now I can say I've been doing comedy for 2 years.
2 years.
Why is everyone laughing at me?
I gave her a guess. Like, you've done shows, and then you just stopped.
Like, if it weren't for COVID, I'd have done it for 4 years.
Yeah, well, there you go. He's been doing it 4 years. I've been doing it 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still at 2 years.
So, Kate, you can quit for a year and still claim it. Come on.
I mean... Lately, I felt like I've just quit and I've just been showing up.
You're phoning it in, are you, Kate?
No, I remember. Yep. And I liked this podcast a lot because it was like...
Podcast. I thought you said... I'm a good listener.
Let her get her plug out for our show here.
Well, if you're going to say you like our podcast, can you enunciate?
Jesus.
Podcast.
This is why she's not on the mic anymore.
Eat the mic, Jenny.
I can't do stand-up anymore because I just got up there and insulted the grammar.
Excuse me, I'm for English Dictionary, not the Webster's.
I'm going to tell my jokes with perfect enunciations.
Go back to why you love the podcast.
Yeah, Nate's like, keep going. Yeah. Why did you love the podcast? Yeah. Shut up, Jenny.
No, I enjoyed the podcast when it first came out because it was a lot of people that were like around here and fairly new. And I was so scared as a comedian that I wanted to know like the things. Because, of course, I listened to like a million comedy podcasts, but they've been doing comedy like a billion years.
Yeah.
And they don't remember like... the first really scary things. And I remember you were like, I'm going to do the mic. And I'd only done like four. And you were like, tell me something, advice. And I was like, leave the microphone in the stand. Because I remember that being so scary to be like, what? How do I take the, what do I move
and
the
I
microphone
And I think I did,
stand?
Didn't I?
Yeah, I think
I left it. I left it in the stand because I wasn't so worried about picking up the mic and moving the mic stand. I was worried about being clunky at the end of it because there's that comics do this smooth thing where they're still talking and they grab the stand at just the right time and everything. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stumble over my words while I'm like, where the fuck the mic stand go? And yeah, the first time I left it in the stand.
Cause it is, it's scary. And then you're so focused on that joke. And then you're worried about like the etiquette of the microphone and everything like that. And I remember that was the one thing that I was like, oh yeah, I told her that. Cause it was, and I still, it's second nature now. I don't even think about it anymore.
It didn't take long.
Are you somebody that leaves the microphone in the stand? The
I don't, I've only done a couple times where it's like a music setup and they're like, it's all like wrapped around the thing.
Yeah.
So a couple of times, but.
Do you find that like distracting or uncomfortable when you have to just stand there with the mic in the stand?
I kind of like it.
Really?
I wouldn't do it full time, but as an audience member,
whenever a comic leaves the microphone in the stand, the whole time I'm like, when's he going to take it out?
Oh, sure.
When's she going to take it out? Like, I'm so focused on the microphone still being in the stand that I can't even like pay attention.
I,
To me, in my brain, I'm like, this has to be part of the bit, right? They're going to do something with this.
You guys sound like Harrison Ford in Raiders of the Lost Ark with Salak going, and you're building the microphone up like it's the it's a goddamn holy.
We grab the really microphone and you know, put the sandbag on the microphone. So then nobody knows that we took it out.
Well, like you said, it's second nature to you now. And that's one of the things that, you know, later, like years down the road, you don't really think about it.
No.
But that stand. And like, it's a part of it. It matters what you do with it, where you put it, when you grab it. Mm-hmm. Like it, I always notice, because even if you have an amazing seasoned comic, if they fumble a little bit in the stand, you're kind of like, well, ooh, that's awkward. Like and then there's the comics that will do jokes where sometimes they need their hands, so they've got to keep it in the right spot, and they have to, like, it's
the pacers, it's like ones prop that go comedy. Back and forth.
Or if you throw them off with a wired / wireless microphone,
like Janet Jackson in concert kind of thing from the 90s.
I hear that all the time, that people hate wireless microphones.
I do. No one ever touches
the wire, so
it's never a smooth, like, thing to clip a wireless microphone back into the stand. It's always clunky and awkward. It's too fat, and then you want to put it on the stool, but then you're like, what if it rolls
then there's
off?
The people that, like, hand it to the host as the host walks back up, and that's awkward.
Sometimes you got to flip them on, though, too. So you go up.
Yeah.
Wireless, especially your first up, they don't want the battery to die. So you start talking.
Or you're doing it at a strip club like I did. And it was
to the stage. Like,
the
Cinnamon.
Sketchiest. Can I say the place? Am I allowed?
Yeah.
I did a show at Bean Snappers in Appleton, Wisconsin.
I've heard.
After, were you there?
No, when Caleb, because that was hosted by Caleb Robertson, who's been on before.
Yep.
And when he was talking about it, when he was on the podcast, talking about it off mic.
Okay.
And I watched Kate on that one. And then I was supposed to be on the next one. And after watching it, I went, nah.
Well, that's right. Did I take your spot? I think I took your
spot.
You
took my spot, because I was like, I'm not being the first woman.
Oh, I was.
To go up at a strip club to do comedy. So
take
I'm
your
like.
Shirt off.
So, I'm like, I didn't know how this was going to go. So Kate's like, I'll fucking do it.
Dude,
I'm like, go for
so
it.
So weird.
And then I watched her do it, and nothing awful. Like, they weren't like that. They weren't like, shake it, take it off. Like, they were very respectful.
No, they were really super respectful.
But I still was sitting there like, I'm never doing that.
It was different. I mean, it was hilarious because. They would say, you would tell a joke, and if they liked the joke, they would laugh, but then they would throw ones at you.
Well, it was wild. There was a stripper who didn't get dressed. Okay. So she's standing there buck ass naked in the audience.
Yeah.
Throwing
dope.
Ones at the stage. If it was ethical, I'm like, I got to get a video of this. Obviously I did not.
Well, they're waiting
but
for
it
you
was
with
wild
hopes and expectations at the same time, rooting for you.
Yeah.
It's like, make it funny.
I'm not going to lie.
Take it
I
off.
Stayed and then I gave all the money back to them. So, I mean,
yeah, comedy shows at a strip club are just passing back and forth the ones.
Well, I felt bad, too, because I did 5 minutes and I made like $40. But the weirdest, most awkward part is it was mostly men, right? So Caleb would make the joke and you'd be like, yeah, bend over for it, because you have to go scoop up all the money on the stage. But then it was me, so he wasn't going to be like, yeah, bend over for it. So he was just like, let's be respectful while she picks up her money. And I'm just like, yeah, all right, here I go. And that felt different.
But it was cool. Like, I think, like, Caleb especially, like, shout out to Caleb. I thought he was very respectful of
Caleb.
What it's like
Caleb's
being...
Dope.
What it's like for a woman to be on stage at a strip club. Like, he was super respectful. And the whole thing was honestly done beautifully. I did not have high hopes.
I think they're doing a mic there now, a comedy open mic there, like, consistently.
Nice.
Going forward.
Well,
I can't remember what day it is, but...
Bean Snappers, we're always looking for sponsorship.
Doing well, that's her line in every single podcast. Is, by the way, this is brought to you by Toyota and everything.
Hey, don't give Toyota a free shout out.
No, that's why I love.
They gotta pay for that
so much. Abe, like, worst possible scenario, like when you've done stand up. similar to that.
Yeah, like what's your weirdest show you've ever done?
Male review. Like at this stage, we're going, okay.
Yeah. I'll tell you what kind of throws me off is when people, so I was doing, it was the first time they were doing a show. It was in Two Rivers. It was packed. I mean, it was like, I don't know, 100 to 200 people there. Right? And then I started going with the jokes and it's kind of quiet, a little, you know, they're laughing. And this guy just goes, "You're not funny." Like that, and he was like a couple rows away.
Oh my god!
And his girlfriend like hit him like on the shoulder, you know, and he like turned back then, and that was like within the first minute, right? And oh my god! I can hear it because I record pretty much all my sets if I can, and I can hear that. I even listened to it today because and then I can hear that. I know, I'm like, it's coming up because I can hear my voice on the recording that I kind of stutter or like,
yeah,
it's he hard got to, in your yeah. head,
throws you yeah. off. Like hecklers in Wisconsin are usually like the nice ones where they're just like, "We love you," and you're just like, "What?
Yeah,
shut up."
It like, was wild.
So how did you finish?
Like, yeah, how did you deal with it? Did you like? Did you heckle him?
I didn't say nothing back because I'm just like, well, she hit him right, so I'm like, I just need to keep going because like no one, I mean, other people, everyone else was like laughing and this and this. It was just that one guy, and then so, but it takes me a little bit then to like. Get back in gear. So I can tell in the recording that like my voice or I can tell it bothered me a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then
as it should.
Yeah. And I watched him during the other comics. It was like Dana Ehrman and Ryan Mason. Very funny. Right. And they had everyone rolling. Dana, yeah. And I look and I'm watching this guy. I'm like, is he laughing at any of this stuff? Did his girlfriend just drag him here? And then afterwards, and we were in the bathroom at the same time afterwards. And I wanted to say like, well, I hope you, at least something was
we're
funny.
We're sword fighting, fucker.
Your stream is weak, bro.
And I just like, you know what? Let's just.
It sounds a lot like, because this is part of the beauty of Jenny's creation here with the podcast, is you, we're trying to get inside the head of comedians, like, you know, working out their material, coming up or whatever it is. But it sounds like you have right out of the gate, you are constantly thinking about everyone else and their reaction. And I get it. It's a very intimate thing with comedy. But you're funny. I've seen your YouTube channel. We're going to plug the shit out of your YouTube channel. Focus on that. I'm a comedy fan. I've never been on stage, so it's easy for me to say, like, go get him, slugger. I've never played baseball.
Special in the fact that he's a totally clean comic. So you're the squeakiest clean comic in the area.
I wanted to bring...
we're drinking beer and...
I've been around in my whole life. I mean, don't matter.
I wanted to bring that up, and I was like, I don't want to be insulting to either of you. But I wanted to ask, you guys have that something in common in that you are both rare and coveted in the scene. You're a woman and you're a clean comic.
Yes.
And so I've heard and I've observed that it's a lot more challenging for, you know, your standard white male raunchy nor whatever comic. They have so much competition, but you guys don't have as much because people are like, oh, we need a clean comic for this set. Oh, there's only one. Or we need a girl. We gotta add a woman. Oh, there's four.
We need a girl.
Yeah, exactly.
Dave,
so
funny.
Do you think that you have gotten further faster, not necessarily because of your talent, not to say it's not existent, but there are really talented comedians who don't get as many opportunities to get on stage.
Good question.
So do you think it's boosted how far you've gotten, like, because you're unique, coveted, one of a kind?
No, because I'm the best. It doesn't matter.
False humility. Well done.
I think, and I know specifically a couple of gigs in the last couple months I got because they couldn't risk it. Or like the owner said, PG-13, it's got to be. So they're like, okay, well, Abe, I know Abe can do it. And Abe, weird's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, weird, I don't know if weird's the right word. But
no,
yes,
but like,
you're totally
reliable that way. And that's something that I had to have a conversation with Trevor where I was like, I don't know that if they were like, hey, you need to do a clean set, I don't know that I could do it. I don't know that I would want to do it. Because I could,
It's unnatural.
I could change my jokes, but that's not the way they were written. So it's like, do I compromise it just for a gig?
You have to have a level of authenticity that you'd lose in doing
right.
that.
And I've done clean shows where I've cleaned up my stuff, where I've changed it, and they don't hit. It never works.
Yeah, I watched.
And I'm just like.
I remember watching one of those.
Yeah, no, one of them was in AmberQuest in Amherst, Wisconsin, for this benefit that me and Trevor and Ross Huff do every year. And it's for people that were like close to our hearts that like passed away and stuff like that. And they do like a big festival out there every summer. And there's kids. They're running around. Mm-hmm. They're there.
You're right.
It's like a big festival. So it's like, I can't. But then they're like, dude, it's Amherst.
The kids are swearing, you know, more.
Yeah, they're that. Just like kids are smoking cigarettes and they're drinking beers.
Kids
too,
are smoking cigarettes.
I mean, it's like
screw you.
So it's like fine, but like I couldn't do it. And then I was just like, man, and it doesn't feel good to not do well, and then you weren't proud of what you did either. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't know. And it's really hard to be offered a gig and to be like, nah, I'm set. You know, like, like it's so hard because so, we're all so desperate.
Like I've heard of that a lot where comics, like I'll see people post like we need a, you know, clean comic PG-13. And there's a bunch of people that are like, I can do that. Do you, Abe, ever have that where people don't want clean?
Right. Oh, yeah, that's a good question.
Well, I wouldn't know because, like, oh, or, like, they've booked me and they're like, hey, could you be, like,
yeah,
the dirtier the better.
No one's ever said anything like that.
You drop a deuce on stage.
Yeah. No one's ever, I mean, well, no one, I mean, yeah, well, that's different.
What kind of dirty kind of are we looking for?
Yeah. Not literally.
I can leave the Lysol wipes at home if that's what you're into.
That's a different entertainment that Abe does. That's not a part of his comedy. That's a separate genius gig.
Question, by the way, Jenny with an eye.
I mean, my jokes are my joke. Like, you've all both have heard a lot of my jokes, mm-hmm. and they're like, there is no variation. There's like, there's no dirty version to the jokes, or like, where, you know, no, I.
Would you ever do that? Would you ever not? No. So it's like just not authentic.
That's just me. That's it. Yeah. Awesome. I mean,
he's like a TV dad.
I like that.
Dude, you're going to have a sitcom. Because I'm just like, is your family real? Because I never can imagine you as a dad. And like you talk about your family and your kids a lot. I'm sorry, but I'm just like.
I can't imagine you procreating and taking care of something.
He's like a young, chill guy. And I feel like my dad was always just like mad and old and angry all the time.
I could never dream of Abe being a dad and Kate being a mom is my nightmare.
I am a mom. I mean, it's a problem.
Well, that's why on Facebook I put happy birthday to my wife, and some of you might not even know that she's real or something like that.
Yeah.
But she
did.
Because
supermodel.
Is your family real? Is it just your material?
I feel like Abe grew up like watching every 90s sitcom dad, and that's like, like you were just like, that's what a dad is supposed to be. And then you became it.
Like, are you like the chillest dad ever?
No, I'm not. And actually, that.
Okay, need to get his kids on this podcast.
You don't want him on the podcast.
Interview the kids. He's like, oh no, dad, he yells.
Well, you know, I worked nights for a very long time, and that is a very tough way to be a dad. And so that was rough. Yeah, tired, and then that was brutal. And so, no, I think I come across probably as more relaxed amongst people my own age.
It's finally like, I'm away from them.
Yeah.
That's how I am. I'm like, it's beer o'clock.
But I mean, the clean comedy thing, you bring up a good point. And like what I have heard kind of right out of the gate when I started getting into it is like, people always said, you're going to have more opportunities if you can do it clean. And yeah, I mean, like this girl I went to high school with, because my wife does music, we do this thing together. We're like, we can do an hour.
She's a musician?
She does music. So like, we've done a couple times where
that's pretty cool.
I'll do comedy, she does music. We have an hour that we called it the hour. And we've done it.
How am I just learning about this?
Well, I didn't know
We've only done it a couple times. We're like, we've done it a few plays. Like this lady I went to high school with, like she put out a fundraiser for her church. So I couldn't have done that if it was, you know, I had dirty jokes or like in my, you know, and so it's like that kind of stuff or trying to think what other gigs, but even like some of the Skyline stuff, they're like, well, just so you know, the host spot has to be clean. And, you know, so it wasn't.
Yeah, and I've seen some comics be like, "Oh crap," and like have to rework. Oh, and you're just like, "Okay."
Which is wild.
It's the safest bet. It's the safest bet, and that was the advice that I was given early on in comedy from a couple of people. Michael Che, actually, he was like, "Do it clean. Start writing your stuff clean." And I was clean, and I slowly got dirtier.
Well, you know, you're not even that dirty of a comic. Like, a lot of your dirty is, like,
compared to
implications.
Abe, I'm so gross.
Like, well, yeah, compared to Abe. Like,
off camera, she was...
I would PG-13. I would say PG
for Abe. You're G. Nah, he's G. You're a G-rated comic.
Oh, you're filthy off camera before we started.
I mean, I put your pants on Abe.
I'm just raping cuss words on his cars.
He called them cuss words.
But do you ever like
cuss words? Okay, Paw Angles. Hey, half pint. Did you say
yes? I'm crazy. I say cuss.
I just have to know because as a woman, like I when being booked, because I hadn't really, I'd been to like what, 6 open mics, and then you threw me on a show, Kate. And I'm like, yeah, it's because they needed a woman. Like in my head, I'm like, if I was a man, there's no way. So there was all like, I was always worried about, am I actually worthy of this? Am I actually funny?
Yeah.
Or is it because they just need a woman? And I was wondering if it's like, you know, Abe, are you like, oh, I totally deserve this host spot at Skyline? Or are you like, well, they just needed someone clean?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, what about?
Or am I just sharing my insecurities?
What about Abe?
No, I have that same insecurity. Security a lot.
I think it's kind of in between. No, I think that like, I kind of in my mind I think like, okay, if 1 is like you're just getting going open micer, and 10 is like you're a full time comic. I was thinking like, where am I on that? Because you're talking about like host spots,
yeah,
right. I think like, okay, I'm not 1, definitely not 10. I think in my mind like 2 or 3 somewhere in there. We're like, okay, like if they paid me $50 to host a show, like they're not gonna be like totally disappointed, right? They'll be like, okay, you're like. You did all right.
I mean, I have been, but no.
Right.
No, I'm just kidding.
It wasn't $50. It was not $50.
I'm just No,
I'm
just,
I know how much you paid.
I'm just messing with you.
So you were like, did I ever feel like, oh, I got just the whole spot at Skyline because I was clean? I don't think it was ever because of that. Because that one time I got it, and then before he's like, hey, just so you know, you have to work clean. It's like they're already going to book me to host. And he's like, hey, just so you know. Okay. Yeah.
That helps.
It's the safest bet. You're going to make the most money and you're going to get the most gigs. Nobody's ever going to turn you away. They're going to turn away somebody that's like, jizz, 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 like on stage. But like,
why are you
never...
telling my set? Okay. Like,
so it was a secret. Jenny's set. And I booked her.
When in doubt. Yeah.
When in doubt, just scream jizz.
Jizz with an I. No, but that's the best way to get booked is nobody's ever going to turn you away and be like, well, but you're clean. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I think if you can be funny. So one of the first, I remember,
it's like harder to write clean. It's like harder.
2021, I was really sick with COVID. I was like in my basement, like not dying, but felt like, and I just found the end of the internet, right? Just everything. That's where I stumbled across Nate Bargatze videos. In a month. And I'm like, this dude is so funny. And I noticed that he's clean.
He's super
right?
clean.
And I'm like, it can be done, basically. And I had heard like Jim Gaffigan stuff too, where I'm like, it can be done. Yep. And like, so I'm like, that's how I would do it. If I got
He's just
comedy.
Funny. And he said that. He's just like, I'm just working on my craft. I don't think of myself. I think a lot of clean comics, if they're good writers and they're funny.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the thing is, I think you're just, I don't think you know that you're funny.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, no, like on stage, you obviously know as a comedian, but like just talking, like I've sat at the bar with you just talking one-on-one and you're just deadpan as you say things. And I'm like, that's the funniest shit. Like,
here you go.
I think there's a naturalness to being a comedian. Like you have to, like you can't just wake up and just be like, I want to do that one day. Like, no, like somebody in your lifetime has told you like, hey, dude, you're so funny.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
you know, what's funny. I was never told that until I hung around with comedians.
Yeah.
No one ever was like, oh, you're so funny. I was just like the, you know, one who gave random Jeffrey Dahmer facts. Like, I wasn't funny.
And then,
It's true.
And then like, I start Jenny knows where the bodies are buried.
My random, you want a random Dahmer?
Yeah, I know where the bodies are buried.
You use Head and Shoulders? Is that
no, she was bullied. She was bullied into even doing this podcast. She's the genius behind
Dahmer
all this.
My Dahmer, Dahmer himself bullied me into comedy.
Wait, what are the sweet facts that you would try to make everyone laugh with?
Oh, they're not to make anyone laugh. They're just cool and interesting facts. I was not trying to be.
Yeah, I was like,
I wasn't trying
what?
To be funny. I just want people to know where he got the infamous red or white and blue striped shirt that he wore in his trial.
60% of people, according to the Stanford blah, 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 drink Jägermeister.
Yeah, that's, you know, she that's would who be, I like, am. Like, person. I know, like...
Jenny is in the food room. She likes to give facts. Definitely, she's the factual.
I've been known as the person who can ruin anything you enjoy.
Oh,
I will give you.
Oh, I like that.
So, like Grizzly, who's been on the podcast.
Let me
a
look
couple
at the timestamp. Hold on 1 second, because this is gonna be
like Grizzly will start talking about. I've been watching this new show, and I'm like, well, did you know? He's like, don't.
You're like,
don't ruin
Masterson,
this for me,
Masterson. He's a rapist. You don't love 70 Show.
Okay,
anymore.
That may have happened on Facebook yesterday. Shut up.
Yeah, no, I saw
but
it.
No, yeah, because in my brain, I'm like, I don't know if this is a disorder or something, but I'm just like, I have an interesting random fact that you need to know. It's never funny. It's always massively depressing.
It needs to get out of my head.
It's kind of funny in its
Kate's
own right.
Kate's experienced this where it's like all of a sudden,
times.
I don't even remember what we were talking about, but I was like, you know, child sex trafficking, blah, 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 blah. She's like,
oh,
what?
Yeah. Oh, no, it was the Diddy thing. Somebody mentioned like Diddy.
Well, that's not a random fact. Everyone knows Diddy.
I didn't know
Diddy
that.
Diddled.
I didn't know that. And then I was like, what about it? And you were like, Diddy diddle, dude. And I was like, what is it?
I've done my crack research team from Comedy Connects podcast.
I've always like,
that's been out there. Yes.
So I'm like, I had always been known as like the buzzkill because I'm like, here's some fact that's going to ruin football. And
dude, that shit's hilarious to me, though.
And then I started hanging out with comics and apparently they thought I was kidding. I don't know.
Even if you're not, that shit's funny.
No, like Debbie like, Downer, Saturday Night Live, Debbie Downer.
No,
it's worse. Yeah. It's worse.
No,
because
it's so
you
much
go.
Worse. But I think that's the thing is that comics think differently. Like, it doesn't matter if you're a woman, a clean comic.
Oh, we're all messed up.
Like, all comics view the world differently, and that's what makes you a comic. Because, like, you know, Jerry Seinfeld started with the, like, you know, talking about airplane food. Everybody knows that. They can relate immediately, but no one's thought about
Jerry's
it.
A clean one, too.
He is, yeah.
Yeah, but could you tone it down a notch? Because I love her. I adore her. And I'm not a comedian, and it's like you're anticipating an audience, and it's like, hey, I want to hang out with you. Let's go here, and we're enjoying ourselves. And all of a sudden, you do realize that blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, Jesus
so Jenny,
Christ, CNN.
We frequent
what's
a bar
on?
Where the bartender will see me and just go, patriarchy.
He does.
Wait, so
he does.
So he SNL, does SNL, Debbie Downer.
Yeah.
Are you Debbie Downer? You're just like,
I don't
the results
try to
came
be,
in,
no,
I have cancer.
In my brain.
She looks gorgeous right now with a smile.
In my brain,
she
I'm like,
well,
I'm
Debbie
not even
Downer,
like sad about it. I'm not even like, I'm not even like, I want to ruin your time. I get I end
you
up like this stupid fucking golden retriever that's like, hey guys, hey guys, you want to hear this? And then annihilate you with the most depressing fact ever.
And then you stop like, ta-da! And we're all like,
the entire
Jesus.
Room is horrified.
You loved it, right?
But when like, I do that around people, like when Nate and I are at the bar and I say that, everyone's like horrified, like, okay. But when I do it around comics, they're like, that's a bit.
Nice.
That's a bit.
Of course. Well, they're called Steelers then because you're
drunk.
Coming up with that shit and you're just ruining our night. So it's
whenever
like material
someone,
ruining night.
Because Dahmer jokes are like a dime a dozen, especially when people come to Wisconsin and
how
they're
long?
Like, they want to tell a Dahmer joke. No. And I'm now like,
cheese.
I think, I don't know if you've been around this, Abe, when it's happened, but I know Kate has that as soon as somebody starts and mentions Dahmer, you hear me in the audience go, woo! And
oh, nice.
Oh, good Lord.
No, everyone, no. I never go, that's not correct.
I've done that same time. I've done that it too. Someone will tell a joke. I've turned to Kate like, actually.
That's actually not correct.
If you're going to tell a joke,
it's 87.9%.
So, like, when I was dating a comic, I gave him a bunch of Dahmer facts, and all of his Dahmer jokes were 100% factual. Nice. You're welcome.
Were they 100% funny?
Some of them.
Oh, well, I mean, well,
that was the first. So, like, when I was putting stuff online, I put a Dahmer joke on there. And actually, there was a guy, and it's by far, like, the most viewed Instagram thing I have. And I don't know how to, like, we're talking before, I don't know how to match that, how to get people to actually watch your stuff. But I wasn't going to do it. And the guy, I don't know if you were there that night, this guy actually was up there, and he looked like Jeffrey Dahmer. It is the only time I've ever seen an open mic, and he goes, people say I look like Jeffrey Dahmer. And he had, like, the weird haircut and the glasses. And then I think I went up one or two after him, and I was like, I wasn't going to do any Dahmer jokes. But then I don't even know if there was, got that good of a reaction. But online it did, because that's
it was a fine line between Dahmer jokes and insulting another comedian jokes.
Well, open mic is weird. You can... They don't like it when I roast people, which sucks because I'm good at it. But I
mean, is a reigning champion of the Fox Valley Roast Battle. Okay, Fox Valley Roast Battle. Kate won, and we all knew. We knew you were going to win.
Because like, Kate's a bitch.
As it was... No, Kate and I work together, and I have been on the receiving end...
She's a huge bitch of the, at work.
I have been on the receiving end of the roast. Like, she will... Something will happen, and she will be standing all alone. And this isn't just at work. It's just Kate. She'll be standing somewhere just by herself. Something will happen, and she does this. Oh, my God. And she will run to the closest person to roast whatever just happened. Nice. And it's like she just has to get this out.
Shirt, man. I was bullied a lot.
Have you ever done a roast battle, Abe?
No, I don't think I would.
No. I want to see you in a roast battle.
Wait, because you don't like to roast others, or because you wouldn't like to get roasted back?
I wouldn't want them to roast me. Like, I've been known, like, and I can come up with mean stuff. Other people, but like, I don't. If someone's like, "Oh, you got all these kids," blah blah, like, I would be like, "Oh man,
oh he's gonna."
Yeah, no, we don't talk about my kids.
That's the main reason I probably wouldn't want to do it.
But I think you'd be amazing in a roast because you just like give that like monotonous deadpan delivery and not even crack, and that breaks people. Like,
well, the best way to go about that is be a judge. Because guess what? They're not going to roast the judge because then they won't.
Oh, for that's you. Why Kate won. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I'm a judge this time around for the roast battle, and it's not as fun. Not
so, what's your mindset going into that? Like, you know, your round one, round two matchup, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, what kind of research?
Round three is rough because you go up against somebody and then the two people that make it from that, so it's like 2-on-2, and then at the same battle, same show, somebody goes up. So for this one, it's going to be Hayden Fredrickson goes up and does 30 minutes. And in that 30 minutes, you have to write roast jokes the other person who won the battle you just did. And that's the final battle to win it all.
And this is in Wisconsin?
And this is at Appleton Beer Factory in Appleton, Wisconsin. And the final one is actually coming up. If I check my calendar real fast. It's this month, actually. It's
nice.
Nice. Right?
Yeah. April 27th.
April, yeah.
Why do you know that and you don't?
I don't know. It is April 27th. He's correct.
I don't pay attention to much, but
my calendar was on July.
Okay, April 27th. Now tell us Abe's dates.
I'm not a creeper, so I don't look at his stuff. No, but it's on April 27th. So how I went about it is I am somebody who is scared and an overpreparer, and I'm like a doomsday person. So I wrote... And you have to write 10 jokes. So I wrote 10 jokes for all three of my potential competitors.
Wow.
And it sucked.
Did you make sure to read to the other two what you wanted to say to them?
Ben Lansing got to hear that shit.
I do have a third nipple. Don't talk about it. Yeah, you got to
I always fuck up that. It's a superfluous third? Like a superfluous? Superfluous? Is that right?
Superfluous.
This is totally sidebar, but it's all about me. There are words. Like, oh, you know what? I'm want to make it comedy related. Do you, have you ever?
Oh, good. That's fine.
Let's do that, shall we?
Hey, last time we were talking about people's dating lives. All right, so we do what
Whoa,
we do here.
But
there are words that my brain says I know. And then when I say them out loud, people laugh at me. Shut up. Kate's like, I've heard this. People laugh at me. So there are some times that I'm like, I can't even talk on stage because that's going to be the moment that I've learned I don't know words. Have you ever had that where you've said something and you thought you knew
constantly.
The word or you stumbled over a word or like, are you scripted enough that you never run into that?
On stage?
Yeah.
I try not to get too fancy.
That's a good question. Like, no, I to go off of that, like how much of your stuff is like super scripted? Like, do you get like like
that was my next question,
filter?
Kate.
Oh.
Slow down.
Oh, sorry. Well,
writing. We're interested in the writing.
All right.
Process.
Do you ever like go off the cuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, but not very often.
It's scary.
To answer them, yeah.
It's scary to
go off. Because I've seen you both several times, and every single set you sound identical. Like the same, like it's like cookie cutter set to set. And I, like, do you write it down word for word? Or is that just what you've said enough that it's like a muscle memory?
Right.
You've seen my old stuff so much that it is muscle memory at this point. Mm-hmm. But there is some stuff that I've been trying to like put in some crowd work. But it is fake crowd work, and the fact that I will respond every single time same way. So
you
it's
know
like,
the answer,
you know what
like
I mean?
The divorce thing.
Yeah,
like who's been divorced?
Well, yeah, or the divorce thing, but like it's gotcha. The what do you do for a living? And then they'll tell me, and then I'll be like, and it goes with the $1 million mm-hmm. joke that I do, where it's like, as a waitress, you hate when the person you drop off the check and the dad joker is like, anything else I can get for you? And they go, how about $1 million? And like, some people won't get that because they're not a server. So I'll like point at somebody in the crowd and be like, sir, what do you do for a living? And they'll be like, I'm a farmer. Because I've gotten that one before. And I'd be like, yeah, what do you farm? Like, what do you got? And he's like, cows. And I was like, all right, cool. So like, you look at the cow and you're like, anything else I can get for you? Like, and the cow says $1 million. Like, what do you say? And people get so freaked out that I'm calling on them and like giving them attention that they don't think about what I just asked them. And so they'll always be like, I tell them to fuck right off. And I tell them, no, I don't got it. And I'll be like, well, this guy knows how to party because he's talking to cows and they're talking back. And like, and it'll always be like, you're an accountant. So your stack of papers. You ask your stack of papers anything else, and then they'll be like, how about $1 million? What do you say? And they'd be like, well, I'll tell them. And I'm like, dude, you're talking to inanimate objects. Like, what are we doing?
And my favorite ever was at Overtime Grill and Pub in Green Bay. Yeah, that's right. Kate looks at someone and is like, so what do you do for a living? I don't even remember what they said, but she went, all right, and sir, what do you do for a living? She couldn't come up with anything.
Oh, nice. No, because they went, that. I'm a server. And I was like, oh,
that was it.
And then I go, all right, sir, what do you do for a living? And then he goes, I'm a bartender. And then I was like,
Imagine moving down the line.
What are you doing? And then they were like, I'm a child psychologist. I think that was it. And I was like, all right, I'm just going to abandon this bit. I'm not going there. I'm not going to do it.
Have you ever done crowd work, Gabe? I've never seen it. If you've done it, now I want
to
see it.
Not really been like, I'm trying to think what, just very little here and there. I'm trying to think any decent example. Just kind of ask, hey, who watches this show, blah, blah, blah. But not
like an individual.
Story. Yeah. And I think because like people are uncomfortable to sit in the front first couple rows at a show.
Yeah.
And I went to a show a couple months ago and the guy's like, you. And I'm like, because I usually go by myself and I've been, well, you by yourself. What, you know, I'm just like, I start to get real warm. Like,
I saw you one night. You were by yourself sitting in the front row at Skyline, and they were talking about how you were single and couldn't get a woman or anything like that. Like,
what?
It was
but you have a wife.
I can't remember. Yeah, that was, I was laughing because I'm like, I know he has a woman, but I can't remember.
Yeah, it was like a couple months ago, right?
Yeah, I can't remember who it was, but
Jeffrey Asmus.
Oh, okay. Jeff Rasmussen. Oh, he just kept playing on it. And I was like, I even came back and said to you, like, this is not working to me.
No, because I was sick. I had pneumonia for Jeffrey Asmus.
Oh, yeah.
So and I even knew out. When, I was I think, so sad.
I think who, I don't know if you sat me, but I was just like, oh, man, I'm going to be too close. Sorry. And I, so what I tried to do, I knew he went to Madison, and I went to Madison. I was wearing a Badger sweatshirt. So I was hoping. He's like, what's your name, man? And then I'm like, Abe. He's like, tell me the coolest thing about you. And I was like, oh, this is such a setup. So I was like, what can I say besides, like, please don't pick on me in front of everybody.
So I'm like, what do you say? Nothing.
I said, like, you should say I'm also a stand-up comedian.
Yeah, because that's the number one rule.
Yeah.
Is that no? Like, because I took a class on crowd work, and they say never to pick on another comedian because it never gives you good quality crowd work.
Oh, sure.
So that's a way to be like, I'm a stand-up comedian. They'd be like, later, and they would pick somebody else.
So to everybody who listens who doesn't want to be picked on, just lie through your teeth.
Yeah, tell them you're a stand-up comedian. There's that's like the number one thing that they say.
Well, I didn't want to say in front of everybody, but I said I went to Madison hoping then he'd be like, oh, like fellow Badger, you know, let's not destroy this guy. And he's asking me questions, and I was like trying to give the most like tame answers because I did not want this to turn into the whole thing. And then afterwards, I guess, and I said hi to him. We talked a little UW. And then Craig Allen told him that, oh, that guy was, because Craig told me later. And then Jeffrey goes, oh, that makes sense. That's why he wasn't saying anything to like.
Yeah. You know what's horrible? I'm going to confess something on the podcast now.
Do it.
We as a family, my wife and I and a couple of other friends went to the Mark Norman show at the Skyline Comedy Cafe.
Comedy Club. Oh, wow,
Comedy Club. God!
I used to be the cafe back in the
day.
Nate ages himself often.
Son of a bitch! But anyway, so at the end of the show, Mark goes, all right, hey, in his typical way. Oh, yeah. I can't do a Mark Norman thing.
Comedy.
And he goes, hey, just yell out something, blah, blah, blah. And I was outside having a smoke because that's what I do. And he was out there as well. And he goes, hey, nice to meet you. Got to go potty. So he goes inside.
That's a pretty good impersonation. Yeah.
And he literally said that. Then at the end, he goes, just yell out something, blah, blah, blah. And people are yelling out some, like a couple people, like really cool stuff. I go, rhubarb. And he goes, what? And I go, rhubarb. And he goes, too loud. And I went, oh boy, I should not have opened my mouth. And I just sat down going, God, I gotta stop inserting myself into other people's life. That's all I thought about, like, son of a bitch, I was so close.
See, that's
to getting
why
out of here.
I feel like you need to get on stage because your brain doesn't think like other people's brains either.
It's super easy. Just do it.
That's why I won't go on stage because yeah.
That's my why brain you'll do well doing. On stage.
Well, I introduce stuff, but yeah, whatever.
Have you ever watched Comedy on the Spot?
Comedy on the Spot?
Yeah,
oh, why
so
do I know that?
Mark
Tell
Norman
me,
does that yell out at me thing because
oh, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Cause it's like comedy on the spot. So
gotcha. Yeah.
The guy that used to be on Kill Tony, I'm the worst with names. I'm blanking. But he used to be in the band with Kill Tony, and he runs Comedy on the Spot. I'm going to remember the name. I'm going to yell it, and it's going to be out of nowhere, and it's going to have nothing to do with anything. Jeremiah Watkins, that's what it is. It's Jeremiah Watkins.
Tonight, she's going to be having sex with Trevor.
Jeremiah Watkins! And he'll be like, I know you were thinking of him. You guys have the same nose. No, but he... No, they do. But he does a thing called Comedy on the Spot where you just yell out random things at comics, and they have to come
improv.
Up with...
Yeah, it's like improv.
Yeah,
and it's great. Exactly it's super fun.
Do you guys do improv?
Yeah, that's a great question.
I first started in COVID, me and Trevor got the UCB handbook, and we did improv in our house and held improv sessions before we even went on stage as comedians.
Wow.
And did improv
just
games.
Just the two
and
of
everything.
You in front of the cats?
Us two. And then, no, we had like a group of our friends that we like all were just like, we're all going to quarantine together and we're just going to be an improv
works.
Group. So it was like, but
you want to do Legos, Dungeons and Dragons, or you want to do comedy? And
I definitely learned like, and played Dungeons and Dragons during COVID as well. Well, me and Trevor started
love
dating
it.
During COVID. So he opened me up to like things like Dungeons and Dragons and all the
love
nerd
it.
Stuff. It's
total
great.
Geek. We do yeah. this down in the studio. I know this is audio, but yeah, but we can't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Theater of the mind.
Yeah.
You guys can
fun.
Envision.
And it's,
yeah.
It's really good. And it's really great for like creativity.
I know. There are some comics that I like shit all over improv and they hate it and everything. And I'm like,
yeah.
I feel like, I'm like, I feel like
horse.
You should. That should be a part of what you do to grow mm-hmm. as a comic is improv. And I feel
that
like
vibe.
that's all crowd work is. It's just
yeah.
improv. So yeah. if you want to crowd work, you should learn improv.
And Abe is a technician. I feel like some of your favorite comics that you've talked about, Jenny, before are like, she's really into the writing because you're back.
Oh, yeah. I love the Dimitri
that's
Martins.
You.
Yeah, that's why the first time I saw you, I was immediately like, yep, big fan, because you do the exact mm-hmm. comedy I love. Like, it's like dry, intelligent, witty, clean.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you are all, like, to me, there's just, it's unmatched. Like, those are always my favorite comics. So, congratulations, you're my favorite.
Wow, yeah.
Well, and it's hard.
I've never told you
well,
that.
Kate, I love you as well.
Well, you can ask.
Be doing
you can ask any,
I mean,
oh, Kate,
Kate's
how I feel.
Love me or whatever.
No,
no
you
it's
can,
fine.
Like, you can ask Kate. I've gone to her, like, I fucking love
yeah.
it. Like,
yeah.
I have.
No, she's a huge fan.
I am. I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, it's getting creepy.
It's
just
getting
so
creepy.
Know.
Okay,
yeah.
so I know
she
where
knows
you
all
live.
Your dibs, dude.
No, she's gonna say him.
Hey, Abe's wife.
We brought up a good point before about
it's
writing it out.
Here.
Where I think not so much right now, but the first year. So if I was on the list at Skyline, I would type out. I'm like, Skyline, this date, 4 minutes. Type. This is what I want to do.
The
and
whole
then,
thing.
Yeah, and then
wow.
a couple days. That Sunday night. I'd be like, if I'm going Wednesday, Sunday night, I want to be ready. And now I'll listen to it. Actually, went to the show at Skyline. Greg Warren was there. And afterwards, me and a couple other guys who go to the open mic frequently talk to him. And his advice, I thought this was great.
Oh, so, I was there for that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
I remember that. I
said,
remember you asked. And yeah. he, yeah, I know what you're going
to
say. Say it.
He said, listen to yourself. He's like, well, film yourself. And if you watch it, you know, to critique, that's one thing. But just as you do house chores or you're doing whatever, listen to yourself.
Right.
Listen to your intonation.
It's like learning
how
a new
you
song.
Talk. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just listen to yourself in a casual
cadence.
Way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How do you sound? And so that's very valuable too. I think I really encourage people at, you know, Skyline or wherever, newer comics, record yourself, watch it. It's hard sometimes, especially
I hate
like,
it.
Oh, this is 4 minutes and no one laughing.
Yeah.
But
oh,
you got to watch it. I think.
It's like
an art form.
It's like sports ball
yeah.
when they watch their, you
I
know.
Just,
yeah.
Sports listen to her.
Ball.
She watches sports.
Yeah, sports ball.
I was, you know what comedy is
sports
like?
Ball.
Sports ball. I was at the bar last night and someone was like talking to another guy that about like, awesome. Ooh, this is an Oilers fan. And I was like, what shape is that ball?
Yeah.
I don't know that thing.
There is a bit by Jenny Slate where she talks about football. I think I tagged you in it because I'm like, look at Jenny, another Jenny.
Oh, probably.
And it's so funny where they're just like, I'll give you the toy.
Yes. Oh, I know that one. Yeah. Where she's is that the one where she's like how they work together? Like you can have the toy this time, and then they run
yeah,
around
yeah.
chasing
and you're like,
their
let's
little
wear
toy.
The same outfit, and I'll give you
yeah.
the toy. So great, so fun. I love
this episode.
Jenny Slate.
I mean, I know you're in charge of this, but it has to be sports ball.
Sports
it has to.
I feel like
ball.
Every
so funny. I'm sorry.
Every time I'm like, I'm totally naming the episode this, I always do. So the last one I named Hijack because we were talking about Jack Haisley again. He came up like mm-hmm. 5 or 6 times.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm just gonna name this episode Hijack, and they're like, yeah. No, I did it.
No, you did.
I do what I want.
Yes.
He's leaving. Is that what you guys talked about?
No, but he is leaving us. He's going all the way to Milwaukee, which is not that far.
All the way. He's making the trek.
It's a two-hour drive round trip if you're going to a mic.
I know, but the thing is like in this area, like in order to do anything, like eventually you do have to go to Milwaukee or Chicago or something else.
I prefer Madison.
So that's like the next step. But they still come. Like I'm always amazed how far comics will drive for even just an open mic.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought he was going back to Romania, but
not right now. Yeah,
but you're right. I mean, for 4 minutes, I mean, to spend
it's wild to me.
Oh, that and the wear and tear on your vehicle, yeah, and then all of those hours, and then you're not sleeping good that night, and you got to work or have kids like, in the morning, which is still work. But it's like
there is no other hobby. There is no other hobby or line of work where someone will drive 45 minutes.
Yes.
To be just to bomb for four and then cry on the whole way home. Like
it's an addiction, Jenny. We're all addicts.
I mean, I've driven 45 minutes for a man. All right. For 4 minutes of disappointment.
And he's got that sweet D.
He's in Indiana. Shut up. I'm going.
As a female comic, it makes sense. We're used to driving and having 4 minutes of disappointment. But for a man, like.
Yeah, no.
You're used to, well, I guess it works on the flip side. You're used to driving, giving 4 minutes of disappointment. So.
Wow. Nice. God, you're bitter. We were going to call this.
Who brought the beer?
Sports balls and bitter.
Sports balls and terrific. Balls.
This segment brought to you by Kelly Kubasek.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to Kelly.
She's not here.
She's a friend of ours. She was on the last. She pops in sometimes. And last time she asked some amazing questions and like about their dating lives. And
okay. Yep. Yeah, she went full blown. We call them swipe writers.
Where
you date and the. Yeah, I don't know.
I thought you meant like WRITERS.
No.
Swipe writers.
I thought you were, I'm such a mom when you started
spelling. What are you writing about?
I'm such a mom. When you started.
S-L-U-T-S.
When you started spelling, I was like, we're all adults here. You can just say the word.
Okay, everybody go up to the truck.
P-O-O-P.
Like, I'm going to say a cuss word, Abe. Cover your ears.
Abe said cuss.
I'm going to say the naughty words.
The cow
C-U-S-S.
Goes, ooh. Yes.
The big C word, C-U-S-S.
Where do you guys want to pivot just a little bit? Because I only have you for a little bit. Like,
there was a question.
I mean, you could be here for like 3 hours. Not tonight, but I mean, I may never see you again because you'd be like, yeah, screw that place. Sorry for the disappointment.
Like my it was longer than 4 minutes. Wait, you gave us an hour.
No, but I want to know what is your ultimate goal? Is it to expand outside of that and work on? I'm still.
Are you shooting for a Netflix special, or are you fine with just being in someone's basement on a podcast? Now?
Are you saying like what are our goals?
Yeah. Like, what are you working towards?
Not vague, but. Specific.
What's your 5-year plan?
Yeah. No, I'm not like a guidance counselor here. I'm just curious.
He's going to give you a test.
Like, what's
the
process for a comic within the, because I always heard like 10 years.
People say that, but.
But I don't
know. People
voice.
Say that,
that
babes. Like,
right.
I'm getting booked at comedy clubs
that
in
can't
6 months.
Right.
So.
They say, what, 10 years to find your voice, your true voice? I think that's what they
say.
Which
is wild to me because like, I wonder if it's 10 years to recognize your own voice because...
Or feel comfortable, finally.
Yeah, because I watch comics and I'm like, you guys have a voice. Like, you know, like, you just have a voice. When, like, the first time I saw both of you, like, you have a voice.
Some people need that time to figure it out. I think a little bit.
Name names.
Never! I will not start enemies. I don't know, but like some people do. And like I had actually gotten into, I had accidentally signed up for Gold Comedy early on where I was like, oh, I'll do a 2-week free trial. Cause it was like only for women and non-binary people for comedy. And it was classes that were run by like Rachel Dratch and like big name people. Right. And so I was like, what? Oh my God, I want to check that out and see what that's like. And then I forgot to cancel it. And then I paid for it. And it was $300 and I couldn't get my money back. So Kate.
That is the worst pitch for anything. I accidentally stumbled into it and they wouldn't give me my money back. Yeah, so they anyway.
Wouldn't. They wouldn't. And so I, which was my own fault. I mean, I should have been better about it or whatever. And then they gave me opportunities to where they're like, well, are you a writer? You can write for all of these like columns and stuff and make money that way and we'll pay you, which I was like, yeah, but then I was lazy and I didn't do it, which I should. Maybe I should do that. I'm a journalism major, so maybe I should do that. But I did the classes because they were like self-taught like ones where you could do your own online classes. And I honestly learned so much from that. Like with crowd work and just like, it was a lot of like, let's figure out your voice stuff where they were like, most people it takes 10 years with this. It's still going to take like 8, but it's going to whittle a couple down. Like they're still so adamant on like, you got to get used to being on stage. You're never going to be your full comfortable self and have your voice until I think you're fully like, this is what I do now. Just like the microphone, moving the microphone stand. It's so second nature. Like once that becomes like your writing and your performing, that's when your voice is locked in.
But like, what's the goal for that? Like, I know you didn't plan.
You're avoiding the question.
Yeah.
What's your goal?
You didn't plan to pay the $300. But this like, to make it easier, like when will you feel like I am a successful comic?
Yeah.
I always feel like I'm further than I am until later down the line. I'm like, oh, I wasn't fucking ready. You know what I mean? Where
so
you
Kate's
look back
like,
on
I'm
it.
Already a successful comic.
And then I'll look back and I'll be like, look at that horseshit set from 2 years ago where I'm cringing and I'm dying. So it's like right now, all I'm doing right now is working on, this is new for me, is figuring out a new opener and a new closer. Because I've had the same opener and the same closer to my sets for 2 years. Mm. So it's like now I get to finally start that writing process of, and I've always kind of filled in, but I've always kept that opener and that closer because it always worked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and so like,
feeling, yeah.
and you fill in with the fluff of like new stuff in between and kind of mix and match. But like now I'm just like so sick of my closer and it's so animated too. So if I'm not like into it, I feel like they can tell I'm not into
it.
So
you switch it around. So you have like a technique where I got to close with this because this is the rock star thing and I got to open to get the, because Abe, you talked about got to get them laughing immediately so I can get comfortable. Mm-hmm. So do you ever flip around material or?
It kind of depends on like what kind of show it is. I mean, if it's open mic, then I don't really, what I close with isn't that important.
Gotcha.
Like if you're hosting.
Show, right. Yeah. For hosting, they're like, hey, you got 10 to 15 minutes. Then I kind of know, like, I'll do something funny, goof around for a while, like, try out some stuff. But I know the last, like, 7 or 8 minutes, as soon as I start, I know how that's going to play out.
Gotcha.
So you have the same closer always.
I have been for quite a while.
I always heard that you should open with your second funniest joke and close with your funniest joke. Yeah.
Yeah, Louis C.K. has, like, really interesting, like pivotal things with like his
let's ruin
process.
Him.
Stop it.
Ruin.
Stop ruining people's dreams always.
Oh yeah.
No, but I mean, but like he was like, if something isn't working, like he always is shifting stuff around, whether it's the opener or the closer. And if like things are killing it, he moves it within his set, which I'm like, oh, that's so scary. Like I want to end on a big laugh always to like move that to the middle. You'd be like, but then it forces you to want to write better. It's like when comics bring people that are funnier than them on the road, because then it forces them to have to try and match them or be funnier. That's like a technique that people use a lot.
Well, Jenny and I talked about on a couple of the podcasts, because I was fascinated about this as someone who's never gone up there. But like, and I said, all right, be honest. You just said you did the MC thing. Like, ladies and gentlemen, coming to the stage, you know, Kate or Abe, and don't just warm them up. Don't fucking be funnier than me. You know what I mean?
Oh.
We had a conversation 15, 20 minutes long on this, like, where there was, like, heat going, don't talk about dogs, don't talk about Walmart,
Yeah, that happened with you, Kate. That
did. I had a headliner. I'm not going to say who it was, but I had a headliner that did that where it was like, but he did that as a courtesy to me because he was like, and he did it for both comics that were on the show, but it was because he didn't want it to be too the same.
As redundant.
The same redundant stuff. And it worked out for the feature because he was so unique with everything. But like for me, me and him overlapped on a lot of stuff, like divorce and family and school and everything else. So
it was basically like the whole list of don't talk about this was pretty much a bullet point of our entire set.
Almost my whole set. So I was just like, wow. And that was one where I did the booger joke. That's why I did the booger
joke. That must be the one I'm remembering that because I'm like, I know you did it.
That's the only time I've ever done the booger joke for a host because I was scrambling because it was even things like guns where I'm like, man, I have new material on veteran stuff about guns and I can't even.
It really, it was wild.
And it was just like everything. And I only had like a day notice.
That'd be tough.
So I was like, oh my God. So it was really rough.
Not an hour, Kate.
But I really liked it because that really forced me to get out of my really like safe box of always doing the same stuff. Yeah. And so it really forced me to like kind of work. Those jokes were fine, but like it made me work on them. And that's something too that I like don't do enough where I have like so much material on my phone that I'm like, I'll work more on that later. It kind of hit, but I'll work on it. And then I don't.
And now I'm
like, and now I have to. So it like really forced me as like writing. And like, I like to write, but I think why I like roasting is the writing aspect of it. Mm-hmm. Honestly, is the writing is so much more creative for me because I have to pick a person and do totally unique material for those. But it does suck because like you do all that work and then it's for like
you can never use it again.
Can't use it again.
Like a joke about something just happened in the news.
I mean, I've reused it, but it doesn't feel as good.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
yeah, you've got to be like, because there are some comics like we've talked about, Ryer Cameraman, and you know they can just write and write and write and write, and every time it's different.
Yeah,
and then there's other comics. Amazing. Yeah, then there's other comics where it's like it's the same stuff and fine tuned for a while, and like whenever I think that that's where those open mics like that they used to do at the Attic in Menasha, Wisconsin, that where they give you that word, like make a joke out of this one word.
And that's great.
It's like a writer's workshop kind of thing.
I wish we did that more because it does.
You can give yourself your own word.
Yeah. I mean, I can, but it's not the same.
You can be like for this open mic.
My word? I'm a control freak.
You know what? Just shoot me a message. Jenny, give me a word. Like I'll
do that.
I'll give you the wildest shit.
Okay.
You know what? That's what we're going to do. You guys, I'm going to pay attention to next time you guys are at Skyline and I'm going to shoot you both a word.
All right.
And it's going to be the same word.
I mean, you can't do it and like 2 minutes before I go on.
I know, like the week before. I know when y'all are on at Skyline Open Mics. I'm going to look at one that's both Kate and Abe same night. And I'm going to be like, this is your word. And let's see if anyone figures it out. It's going to be so obscure. I want people to come up to you after and be like, how did you both?
And then we'll get it and it'll be like, Dahmer. And then I'll be like, oh, great. And Jerry's going to be fact checking in the audience.
Okay. Abe, have you ever gotten yelled at?
I haven't had any, you know, and I've only really, I haven't hosted that many times at Skyline or other clubs. So, or, you know, I've done independent shows too, but I haven't had anyone come up to me beforehand and say, hey, don't talk about X, Y, or Z.
Wow.
So
okay.
I've been pretty fortunate that way.
Gotcha. But,
yeah. Or no one said like, hey, try not to be funny. Like, no one's ever said that.
No,
either.
Yeah, no. They'll never tell you to do that. Right. They want you to warm up the crowd.
Yeah, never.
I mean, honestly, I found that most headliners don't even watch your set. Headliners, for the most part, any headliner I've worked for has not been, like, terrible. Like, they've been all the best.
Oh.
Like, honestly, the best.
Because they understand.
And, like, the last one I had, they gave me notes on my stuff and, like, tips and, like, suggestions on to do like differently with jokes and stuff, and I was like, yeah. And then I tried it and it didn't work cool because obviously like I didn't
she's
have
over
time
here, like,
to
they're
try
so,
it out
yeah
and so, she's like they're so nice giving me tips and they're just sabotaging her
then,
for the rest of the weekend.
But then he like thanked me and was like, thank you for trying that out and like trusting me. And I was like, of course. Are you serious? You're
bomb.
My favorite. So bomb. I mean, it's like
away.
I will always love that. And like, there's any, have you ever had any headliners do like weird stuff before shows, like ritual?
Yeah, give us the dish. Come on.
No.
Tape.
The people I work with are very tame. They're like me. They're just low key. They're just like
he ended up on the boring side of the
Go out to Culver's.
That's clean comics, man.
We're just
this show
out.
Will have video by the
talking
way.
Talking about our families.
Absolutely, the sweetest, nicest guy. He looks like somebody who
TV
does
dad.
Art.
TV dad.
He kind of is, but he has long hair and. Kate, you're like destined for.
I got longer.
You are gonna be in a movie.
My beard isn't as full as his, but it's
Kate, you're in a movie.
Let's let's go here.
Not a.
I didn't even hear
weird movie,
said, man.
But
I look like I'm from a movie.
No, you're gonna be in a movie, and he's gonna be the
what
guy
movie?
That.
Wait, are no, you recording know, this? And this is gonna be some weird
smile,
movie.
Smile,
right?
You're on
no,
Sunday
she's
camera.
Gonna be in a movie.
You're gonna be in a movie,
and you're gonna be in a movie too, eh? But you're gonna be the IT dude that
no.
always gets the
you know what's
the
wild?
Nate's
shit.
Roasting right
you know
now.
What's wild about this is I don't see him as IT dude. Mm-hmm. I see him as the psychopathic
whoa.
Guy with
whoa.
Someone
see,
in with someone in his basement.
Wow. Are buried.
With
this
someone
real.
In his
she
basement
does.
And everyone's like, I had no idea he was
every
the sweetest.
Single,
oh my God, it,
every single
she
procedural
loves Dahmer, dude, and
every,
she loves you. So I mean,
every
I think
single
she's projecting.
It's always the quiet ones. So Kate ain't never killing anybody.
Every single
nah,
show,
dude, I tell
like
everybody.
Law and Order or Criminal Minds, where they knock on the door and he's like, he only puts the. He only cracks it a little bit. If I saw cops, I'd be like, come on in, I'm so sorry. But he's like, what do you want?
Well,
no, you can't come in. You
if,
know, it's going to be like that.
Poor Abe.
If Abe murdered somebody, okay. he would take that shit to his grave and O.J. Simpson have them sign an NDA for the next 50 years. If Kate or Nate, that rhymes. If Kate or Nate murdered somebody,
uh-huh.
they would have to call everyone they knew and tell them immediately.
Oh,
they'd be
yes.
like, you are not going
to
believe.
I have to break.
It's the it was
in
her name. Such a mess.
Like
he would
you're
eat
not going to guess.
Well, you know, SWAT, because... I do a couple jokes about it. I worked in the jail for 9 years. So
oh,
I,
good Lord.
Oh, that's
there
right.
you go. There
I'd hang
that.
Out with murderers. Like,
oh, yeah.
we'd be this close. All,
see,
like,
oh, yeah.
You're just hanging out, watching.
That's where you get the, like, guidance counselor vibes.
It's just like,
you
well,
do.
You,
wait,
you're
is
hanging
he a
out
guidance counselor or murderer? What one is he? Or
they're
is he
always the same.
What?
I feel comfortable with you because you're so quiet spoken, but you're also a great listener and you make eye contact. But you're also like, what the fuck's that guy up to?
Yeah. I love that Abe has said he doesn't want to sit in the front row because he doesn't want to be picked on at comedy
yes.
shows. He won't do a roast because he doesn't want to be picked on. And what are we all doing? We're just, it's like the
oh,
roast.
Yeah, you
Abe
know,
no. Roasting is making observations.
Oh. And I but love, I just said
so
it.
Nice that he's like making
not,
up excuses for your
I just
roasting.
Said
he's used to like hand-holding between bars with people. Yeah. He's like, did you get your mashed potatoes? You know. He's that sensitive. He's
why
like,
mashed potatoes?
I don't mean, well, I don't know what the
they
fuck.
Only
they
mashed
oh,
they
jail
only
in
eat
a
mashed
prison?
Potatoes. He went to the tater jail. And that's where they get.
Tater jail.
Tater jail.
Did you get your cigarettes? You know,
it's cigarettes like, and mashed potatoes.
He's like, dude, I'm going on vacation. I'll miss you. And then he walks out of the prison. And sorry,
I'm
enjoying
this.
This
went so off the rails.
But you don't work in the jail anymore.
No, that's hilarious.
So,
I was glad to be done with that. But like, that's where you just learn. Like, I don't want to say it's similar to comedy, but like,
it's traumas, baby, and that's all comedy is.
You just like, you just learn to get along with everybody. Because like the jail I worked at, mm-hmm. You'd be just me. Okay, I can be, like, I'm pretty soft spoken, but I would use the jail voice.
Like, what's the jail voice?
I
want
to hear
the
jail voice.
But like, I'd be in. We had dorms.
Yeah,
dorms. Me and 68 people.
Yeah,
bunk beds.
Okay,
it's just me. So like, you gotta make the peace. You gotta know how to just. Be like, all right,
what do you
wow,
do?
Tell me.
Do it. Just go back. Okay, we're gonna do this.
I don't
want
to yell, but like, you would yell.
We're gonna
doing
get
this on
you
the
to yell
podcast.
Someday.
Just lean back about this far away from the mic.
He's like,
go.
I'm not doing.
Okay.
Nate, no means no.
This
is what you do.
The biggest thing. So
there you go.
Oh, wait. Let's talk.
If you're in the dorms, right?
Yes.
It's really the biggest thing is you don't want no fighting. Fighting's the worst because they're all, I mean, they're just, like I said, they're just coming up to the desk. So while lockdown was the worst, you got to get 68 dudes to be quiet.
Okay,
but there's a way to do it. But this is what I do. If two guys started arguing, right, face to face, this is what I this is what I would do.
Please do.
He pushed
He's
it away.
Pulling.
He pushed it away.
He's
getting ready.
Do it.
Hey, Like that.
Whoa! And it, Jesus, I wet myself. Just
he can
I
yell.
Dude, that was just a soccer dad
you
yell.
You scared the shit out of me.
But that was good.
You're okay, like, Kate, let's hear yours.
Oh, you don't want to hear mine. No. I've been loud this whole time.
She's at a volume that is consistent. That scared the shit out of me. And he did it with a smile, by the way, for the audio.
Yeah. So if you're usually quiet, when you're usually quiet and you do that, then it scares everyone even more. And then this gets them to look at you. And this ceiling doesn't, this is bringing in the sound a little bit.
Oh, that's
yeah, this would be perfect.
I've designed
for comedy.
It that way, yes.
So, it's like very short. And that's what comedy clubs should have.
Maybe that's
so how come you, like, I don't think I've ever heard you tell any jokes about your experience with prison.
Yeah.
Is that,
yeah, he does. Yeah, he has the on one.
Because I got them like, I have a couple that are really set. So I don't like, I don't tell them a bunch at the.
Okay.
Yeah, Skyline. Or not for open mics. But
you do the like
the whole like thing.
Yeah, like if you recognize me,
right?
Or whatever. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I don't think I ever pieced together that that's true.
Oh right.
Like
yeah.
I think the best is when you did it and like it happened to be such a small show. Just because it was like
oh,
something
like
was going on.
There?
Yeah, and it was like 10 yeah. people. And then he put it into the front row. And it was like 10 people and you're like, I don't know if you guys recognize me.
Yeah.
And they all went, no. Like, yeah. They didn't.
Yeah. That was, yeah, and that was
and
the
it
first.
It was so small. I think that was the
show.
Smallest crowd I've ever seen at Skyline was 8. Because something was going on. I feel like something was, like, Mile of Music or something
was
happening.
It was Labor Day weekend. It was a
late
show.
Oh, that's why. It was Labor Day weekend.
Yeah. Okay. And so that was my first paid show, though, there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I was
that
like,
was a learning one.
Yeah. And the first one was pretty decently attended. But yeah, the second one, I'm like, oh, I guess this is
late
how late
show,
shows are.
Late
people.
Show was just like, it was like, so it was super
people in Wisconsin
intimate.
Are already too shit-faced for a late show. They're well, like,
well,
the best of intentions.
Labor Day weekend, they're all up north.
Right.
They're camping
true.
Up yeah, north.
Well, and Abe kind of looks like, without the uniform, you do look like a guy that would walk in with the Bible and having the thing go last right.
You know
you
what?
Do kind
you know what
do
we're learning?
Like
you are a versatile
guys.
Person because yeah. we're across the board. You can do whatever you
he's
want.
He's relatable,
to.
Dude.
That's
he's
it.
A comedian.
Yeah.
There it
is. And Kate, you look
have
like
you ever thought about being an actor? You could play all these
can't
different
wait.
Roles.
No, I want to hear what I look
Kate,
like. Here we
Kate,
go.
Kate, you look like someone who would walk in and go, "I'm nurse, and you need to shut the fuck up."
I'm
and
nurse.
You are.
You do. You got that. Like
you do
nurse?
Are the nurse.
You got that.
Like,
nurse.
Shut the fuck up.
Oh, I
will.
I'm
in
security,
sleep.
So I mean that works.
I love you. And tomorrow
security
we will share
Barbie.
Pudding. However, we need to stop whatever it is you're doing. No, this is fantastic. I'm not trying.
I've always
me,
been
I'm
told
sweeter.
I look like a Republican librarian.
I know that was a
that's
genre.
That's pretty accurate.
It's accurate. Yep.
That's my, pretty accurate.
That's her.
That's just because you know my personality. Of
no,
course I teach gender studies.
Wait, do I get to, am I allowed to say what I think Nate looks like?
Absolutely.
No, please. Bring it.
No, you can keep the glasses on.
No, I got the I know Kevin
he's
Bacon
like, go
nose,
for the
dorky
Kevin
dude.
Bacon. No, you look like
Kiefer Sutherland and a dork.
Oh,
I
know.
No.
Go ahead.
I get too. I get
what?
Villain in a Dr. Seuss movie vibes.
Villain in a Dr.
She wow. went below the belt.
I'm sorry.
Villain in a Dr.
Seuss movie.
What do I do
like
with
you
him?
You fox
it's
and
like...
socks. You got foxes and socks.
See, I don't think he's the villain. I think he's the dad in a Dr. Seuss movie.
No, but like the characters are always like the kangaroo.
Like, look, he's like, I want to be the
like
bad
the kangaroo
guy.
From Horton Hears a Who or like the,
okay.
the fox.
See, I think the dad from
the
Grinch.
I want to be the villain.
See, he likes, or the Grinch.
The dad from the Grinch.
No, just the Grinch.
Just, oh, okay. He doesn't
Grinch,
look like
come
the
over
Grinch.
Here.
Yeah, yes. No. But it's, yeah.
He wants
nothing
so
bad.
Badly
oh,
to
Lucy
be a villain.
Lucy Liu, or whatever her name is. Oh, my Ooh, heart.
Man.
But, we've never
no,
roasted.
Dude, I'm the most
of course,
sweet.
Kate will be the first one to roast on this podcast.
Oh,
love
I'm
this.
Sorry.
No,
I was
it.
Given
keep
permission.
Going. Keep going. I'm going to be
No, I'm not gonna keep going to keep going. That's enough.
She needs time to write 10 jokes before.
See, actually, her, yeah, her right. roast was actually, no, I'm fucking done with you. That hurt my feelings.
No, I don't want to hurt. hurt anybody's feelings unless you like signed up for it. No, because people always tell me to do it. I don't. And then I do, and then they regret it.
I don't think I could do a roast because I don't know the line.
Nope.
Same.
I would definitely go after, like, you know,
I made like five dudes cry, and it doesn't feel good. I feel bad. You made
five. Wait, you buried the lead. Back up. Well, you made five dudes cry.
Well, yeah, I was the roast battle champion, so like I had to. Well, them.
Please
sue
me.
I'm just
please
talking
me.
In a roast battle.
Please
sue
me. I have no self-esteem to begin with.
No,
I can't
that's
go
a
anymore.
Great way I to. I think that the one joke I gave was pretty solid. I mean, I think it was good. I don't
Give
know.
Give her
that
time,
good.
Kate.
I'd
go.
I'd have to research you, dude, and I'd have to really deep dive into your Facebook.
Oh, you're going
and, like,
into my soul.
He doesn't have a Facebook.
That's different. I
like you have
like
a you have like a dope.
Oh no, that's a thing. Like with roasting, they like. With roasting, they like really research these people.
Oh yeah, I
really?
Researched the hell out of people.
Let's talk about that just for a little bit, right, Jenny?
Yeah.
I mean, this is what we do—the construct of this whole thing. So you actually so you research. What do you mean by that? I thought like
so,
roasting was.
So I like a variety. So and as a judge too, I like a variety. So if you do a bunch of like certain people, just like pick one thing on right. somebody, and then they'll just. Do 10 jokes on that same subject.
Yeah. I'm bored. Fat. You're bald. You're a dad.
Well, no,
you're
just
boring.
10 jokes about being fat.
Yeah.
And I'm just over it by the first joke. So like, I'm going to pick like, you're fat. You're a nerd. Mm-hmm. You're a virgin. You got fired from your job. You're jobless. Like kind of like
gotcha.
Like I want to.
Why am I picturing
variety.
The exact comic you're talking? No, I'm just kidding.
He cried. No, I'm just kidding. No, but like it's stuff like that where like I try to come up with a variety. I mean, I had fun and like I told Trevor, I go, I don't want to do 5 minutes of stand up at the roast battle
right.
because they're not there for that. So it's like opening for a magician where you go up.
That's
and,
actually a good
no,
line.
For real. We saw that.
That's
live.
Painful.
And
that
it was
is
like
painful.
It was like a headliner opening for a magician where I've seen that headliner kill.
Yeah.
And
oh, no.
It was dead eyed stares.
Because
for
people
like
aren't
five
there.
Minutes.
Like it's two different things. They're there for comedy. They're there for
so
magic.
Different.
They don't want comedy.
Well, yeah, your brain is having to do, it's too much work for the audience. Never make
yeah.
your audience
or,
work.
Or they're just like, well, is this also magic? Like,
and they're waiting,
yeah, like
they're waiting
for the
magic.
And
yeah.
he's like, nah, I'm just.
Because it's amazing how many people don't know how comedy shows work, and they show up thinking they're just there to see that person. And then, like, they've got to sit through two other comics and, like,
wild. And it's rough. So, like, doing 5 minutes. I didn't want to do that again. So I was like, if you're going to pick two comics to be on the judging panel for the roast battle, I want to roast the other judge. So I roasted John Egan last time, and that was really fun. And I did 5 minutes of stand-up for the first round, and I was like, I don't ever want to do this again because that was rough. And we had a full room, and it was, that was a humbling.
Really?
That was so humbling. Okay. Like, they were just like, but like they essentially could have just booed.
She started roasting people in the crowd.
Have you guys ever?
Thinking about taking a shower before coming?
Like just like specifically.
I've never been
has
booed.
Anyone said boo?
I've never been booed.
No.
I've gotten no, but I've gotten
no
like
tomatoes
groans grown. On my jokes before, and it feels like a boo.
There are some comics that love the groans.
Oh, they think that groaning is equivalent to laughs, and I feel like that's groan, same thing, and I'm
that
like,
seems
nah.
like that's ego protection right there.
Really
buddy.
That's like edgelord open micer thought process. Yeah. Where you're just like, whatever, man, whatever gets you back up.
It's
on
like,
that
ooh,
stage.
pay attention to me. You
well,
at least they gave me
well,
something.
No, it's easy to go gross. It's easy to be disgusting.
Yeah.
So then when you get groans, they're like, oh, still got a reaction. I'm like, you're so desperate. But aren't
that.
We all?
So Abe, you were talking about your biggest one. Thing that went off on Instagram. So let's tell people where to find it.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Please do.
All right. All my names are different on everything, which I know.
What?
You
gotta fix that.
Come on now.
No. They're close. Okay, Instagram is Abe_Auer, AUER. That's what I'm really, I guess, trying to focus on, but it doesn't really matter. I'd say as long as people are checking it out some way or another. Facebook, I have Abe Auer Comedy. And YouTube, I think, is Abe Hour Comedy as well. But you can also do like at Comedy Hour, which something I was trying to do.
Comedy Hour, but Comedy it's A-U-E-R. Yeah. You've got the best name.
Yeah. So I'm working on that. And then I thought about changing my handle on Instagram.
An hour with Hour. I've already marketed.
Yeah.
Hour.
I subscribed.
I try most of the same stuff, but
do you put like your dates of where you'll be and stuff on there too?
I do on my Facebook. I have the pin post is I just constantly update like where I'm gonna be next.
Gotcha.
So, all right, cool. Yeah. Kate, tell us about your photography. No, I'm just kidding.
Tell us about your hobbies.
He's like, I pinned all my shows. I'm like, fuck, I should do that.
Well, like forever, I only knew about your photography pages. Do you have comedy pages now?
I do. I finally buckled down. I got some. Yeah, it's just katehermsoncomedy.com. And then
subscribe.
And I'll add all these in the description.
KateHermsonComedy.com. But I mean, what? Coming up, what are we talking about? Our coming up crap? Our stuff, our things.
Well, like
our
deals. You have it, I feel like it's easier if you've got it on there because otherwise, I just picture people like you should put it on there because I'm should. Like, what kind of like, no offense, but like, what kind of super fan would be like, I've loved every second of this. Let me get a pen and paper.
Yeah, you that's know what true. I mean? That's true. Right.
They're in the car listening to this.
Yeah.
Also, when we release this,
stop encouraging people to like write and drive. God, Kate.
God, I'm such a bad
safety
comic.
First.
I'm such a mean comic. No, it's just katehermsoncomedy.com and then my crap's on there and apparently
and
I
you can book her
it.
For photography because she's good at that too.
You can book me for photography. You can if you want to book me because I'm pretty light right now. I mean, I got like one show a month going up into August so far. But you can reach out to me on that and
it's wonderful. Cool. Fell in love with both of you.
Oh, well.
Thanks
oh, my
coming.
God. Even
seriously.
Though I was mean to you, I'm sorry. I was.
Seriously. It's no, you weren't even remotely mean. You have no idea what strangers tell me.
He's like, you don't.
Mean. He's do you like, have any? That's why I was like, bring it, bitch. I'm in therapy.
He's like, you don't know what I say to myself in the mirror, okay?
Oh, God.
Top
yes.
that.
I don't want to be more of an enemy than yourself.
Oh, come on.
You got to be the worst.
It's
one.
Actually easier to have other enemies than yourself.
Oh,
right?
No, I know. I
can't
escape.
Last time I tried
escape.
To punch myself in the face, it didn't go well.
No.
No. I hit the mirror.
Not that I was there. Not that I was there.
Yeah.
You just say it. No. Right. Yeah.
What did you force her? Like, quit hitting yourself?
Quit hitting yourself.
No.
Hitting yourself.
Don't do that, because then there are going to be rumors online
uncle
going.
Is just picking on Jenny. Mate.
Yeah. And Jenny. No, this has been absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Thanks for having us on.
Thanks for being on and telling us all
your...
We
have Father Abe over there, and we have Heckler Kate, and it's going to be great. Youth pastor.
I got to confess something.
Uh-oh.
Please
I was
do.
The one who heckled you at that show that
oh,
one time.
Oh, nice.
Are you
nice.
Fucking kidding me?
No, yeah, obviously I'm kidding. No, I did not heckle him ever.
I was setting you up. It sounds better.
You
the
know,
joke
I don't
was...
know what's worse, the fact that, like, we thought
he said it was a dude.
Oh, I'm
she's like, what?
But both of us were like, that's believable. Yeah. What?
I know.
I could see that.
She wouldn't come to one of my shows.
You gave me a softball. I know. I've never even seen you, fucker. 2 hours ago.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah, if you're a newer comic in the Valley, I mean,
yeah,
you know, pick our brains or if you
absolutely,
you know, give a compliment. If I see someone up there first time and I see a joke I like, I try to compliment them. Hey, that's good. And
yeah, we need more positivity
better.
In this.
And
scene.
If oh, like them. I gotta say this before we finish. If you are a new comic and it is your first time on stage, don't tell people it is your first time till the end of your set.
Right.
Because if you tell them, you're not gonna get.
Yeah.
You're not going to get the appropriate feedback or the truth. So get up there and do your set. And then at the end, say, thank you guys. It was my first time. And let them go, whoa. Yeah.
What a great tip because of the condescension. There's nothing worse than that. Yeah.
I did not do that. And I bombed hard for my first time. But as I should have.
But it's
important.
Because
then I changed
important.
My whole deal.
It's important.
So, I mean, it is important. And usually, like, the host will ask you, like, is it your first time? And then I'll usually be like, do you want me to tell people or not?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good point.
Really good point. Yeah.
Well, all right.
Awesome. Thanks
we'll,
a lot.
We'll end all your nuggets of wisdom. Is that a thing? Did I say that right?
Did you say nuggets?
No, I said nuggets. But I always flip things. So I'm like, is it wisdom of nuggets?
Let's call it
no,
juggets.
It's nuggets of wisdom.
Let's call it juggets. Like, Jenny nuggets.
I want to call it wisdom nuggets. I think that should be the title of the show. Wisdom nuggets.
give it a
many
juggage.
Titles.
Give
it we'll a put them into a hat and pull it out. All right. Well, thank you so much, guys.
Yep. Thank you very much.
And we plug your stuff. It's all good.
Put all your.
You guys are amazing. For real. You guys are so much fun. And I wanted you so badly to roast me. But
no, okay. Get, go home. Write
get
it.
Your.
No.
Go home.
I'll only
write.
Do it if you roast me back. Oh.
No, I would never. I suck it. I'm not a comedian.
That's so right, mean. That's not roasting. Now you're just a bully.
No.
Yeah, right.
You're just like, a family member at a goddamn reunion in high school or something.
I'll only get mean when I gotta defend myself.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, pretend.
Then if I'm just like. Because I don't hate
pretend
you.
Like, he's like, think of all the mean things you say to yourself in the mirror and pretend
slash
I said
your
them.
Tires and, you know, your tires. No, I think that would be awesome.
Kate wears big.
No, you guys
are
amazing. Thank you. Have a smile.